The game is over. Your Bucks postgame show starts now. Welcome to Bucks Talk. Insight, analysis, and your chance to sound off on the game you just heard. Now to break it all down, here's your host, Justin Garcia.
Once more, where the game is tight in the final 5 minutes of the game. Tonight, the script went a little differently on a number of levels. It was not Damian Lillard carrying the offense across the finish line, as Dame just finished with 2 points in the clutch tonight. So he still leads the NBA in clutch scoring so far this season, up to 67 points scored in those spots, still 14 better than Mikal Bridges, who is second. Trae Young, who we saw on the floor in a couple of those moments tonight, or in that game, I should say, 53 points as well. So Dame's still your league leader. But the big change from this Bucks experience in the clutch versus the previous 11 we had seen, it was not built around Damian Lillard scoring the majority or all of the points, and it was not tight all the way down to the end. As this was one of the rare times, maybe the only time, off the top of my head, in those clutch games they have been a part of this season where the Bucks started to pull away down the stretch. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. As all things considered, we can continue to pile over and nitpick some of the defense for this team. But let's also keep in mind, this is a very good offense that you're going against in the Atlanta Hawks. And for whatever reason, we brought it up to Bobby Portis after the game. For whatever reason, this team has been at their best, defensively especially, in the clutch this season. I joke that I'm sure you'll hear Adrian Griffin bring it up, and sure enough he did. But we continue to hear from Griff, your fourth quarter has to be your best quarter. And those final 5 minutes, especially of the fourth quarter, those are extra critical, and that is where this team has been at their best through the first now 20 games of the season. So we're about a quarter of the way through the season. Bucks at this point would be on pace for 55 or so wins if they kept up this pace that they've played at so far. Still a lot of improvement that we need to see in some smaller aspects, but one of the other things that I think really stood out tonight is another one of those areas that slowly but surely you're starting to see that turn the corner. And that's the chemistry and just that built-in knowledge of knowing where your teammates are going to be. You can think about how many times early in the season we saw Aaron passes, or you'd see Giannis, not just Giannis, Damian Lillard, Chris Middleton, whoever it was, passing the ball to spaces, passing the ball to an area of the floor, assuming I'm going to have Malik Beasley or I'm going to have Damian Lillard, whoever it is, sitting in the spot. And the player just wasn't there. We have seen less and less of those instances the last 2 weeks, really. And a lot of that has to do with the chemistry that this team continues to develop. Again, it is not a finished product. It is going to continue to be a work in progress for this team, as we've mentioned, and as I'm sure has become tiresome. But you're starting to see some of those signs for the Bucks 20 games into the season now. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. We head to the phones to kick things off with Will. I am Will, were you at the game tonight?
Was unfortunately lost my voice. See our boys win. This game was a battle of the benches and just keeping the Hawks in check here, man. Fundamentally, I have never seen so many carries when Trae Young brings the basketball up. It just made me lose my mind. And to see us walk away with that win, knowing that they were resilient on the offensive rebounds, like you said, leading up to the show, and how they just didn't go away. But to have, like you said, that final masterpiece where we come up in the fourth quarter and kind of push away, we're starting to see that this team is coming together like that. And like you said, it doesn't look pretty for the first three, but it's that fourth quarter that we need that final push. And then I have a question for you, Justin. This seems to be a theme. We are having issues dunking the ball and getting the little bunny layups. I was going to ask you, I've never seen that been an issue until this year. Is that something to be concerned of? Would you play any interest into that?
I don't know what it is, but for whatever reason, it is statistically, it has not been as big of a problem as we presume it to be. I think it stood out in a couple of moments today. There was a couple of big ones where you had Dame missing again at the rim. We go back to what if that dunk goes down against the Boston Celtics and how much additional pressure that puts on Boston to close the game out. Bobby Portis had a couple that missed today. There was a game earlier this season, too, where the Bucks just could not get a shot to drop around the rim, that they were shooting 50% at the rim in the first half of the game. The opponent escapes me, but we've seen a few of them. I would assume your natural law of averages here that that's going to balance out. I don't understand why we've seen those misses, but it's certainly something to make note of do we start to see the Bucks shots at the rim at their shooting percentage around the basket start to drop off this season, because that's where this team has really dominated for the last couple of years, is when you got Brook Lopez, when you got Giannis, you're going to get those shots, more so from Giannis than from Brook. But also in the past, when you had Jrue Holiday, his ability to get into the paint and score there, Bobby Portis can do it as well. So that's been a big part of their offensive arsenal. And if that starts to drop off, it's certainly something to make note of, though they're making up for it so far this season with the three-point shots. 855-616-1620 is the Old National Bank Talk and Text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. And I think everybody, when Bobby Portis missed one of those at the rim in the fourth quarter, Dame did as well on that layup where he split the defense but just missed at the rim. And it was another one of those. Dame had a similar play the game after the Celtics game against the Wizards, where you couldn't help but wonder, and I believe that was the game that I was referencing, where the Bucks just missed shots at the rim in the first half at about 50% was what they were shooting there. You couldn't help but wonder if Dame was a little bit hesitant because of missing that dunk, and if it changed how he approached with a layup that caught the back end of the iron. We saw it once more tonight. But my big takeaway is, you know, what Will brought up and what I mentioned we heard from Griff, in that you don't want to live in the clutch. And I think last week, that's where we all were at, that we were quickly pointing to, and I was guilty of this too. Hey, the Bucks have been very, very good in the clutch. That the message seems to be Damian Lillard has the approach of just get us there. Keep us in the game, get us to that spot in the fourth quarter, and I'll take it from there. And it worked for the most part through those first, 10 instances that you had in those games. But it's not a spot that you want to live in. We saw it come back to bite you against the Chicago Bulls. When all told, the Bucks were very good in the clutch in the fourth quarter. Then overtime happened, and that's where the numbers plummeted. But the larger point is you don't want to keep playing with fire. It's good to build some of this and to learn and figure out how to win together as a relatively new team in these types of spots early in the regular season. But you don't want the majority of your games to be played like this. And that's what it's been trending towards. 12 games. 12 games out of 20 games played for the Bucks this season have been clutch games where the margin is 5 points or less in the final 5 minutes or less of the game. And it's not just what the final score was. It's at any point in those final 5 minutes, was it a five-point game? So tonight qualifies as one of those games. It's 12 times that the Bucks have played in those games this season. They have played 20 games this season. 60% of your games have been tight ones like that. It's good to build those reps and to figure out how to win, but you don't want 60% of your regular season games. You don't want to be playing 55 to 60 games that are played in the clutch this season. It's nice that you figured that out. Now I think all of us, I'll speak for all of us when I say now, we could go for some double-digit wins that you start to piece together. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Another win in the clutch, so we'll take an updated look at where the Bucks numbers are, where Damian Lillard sits. And I mentioned that fourth quarter efficiency. How much those numbers jump off the page and how different they are versus the first quarter. We'll dive into that after this on Bucks Talk.
The Round Ball Repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
Point win here at Fiserv 4-0 for the Bucks, who outshine the Atlanta Hawks down the stretch and pick up this 132-121 victory. This was a track meet in the first quarter where we saw a combined 79 points between these two teams, 42-37. After the first, the Bucks led it, and that margin was up to 4 going into the half. Both of these offenses would pick up again in the third quarter. And the fourth quarter, when, again, we talk about that quote from Adrian Griffin, we've heard a couple of times already, fourth quarter has to be your best quarter. And the final 5 minutes of that quarter are especially critical. The Atlanta Hawks scored just 23 points in the fourth quarter tonight. So that is, by and large, what we've seen from the Bucks so far this season, and especially in the clutch. 855-616-1620, the old National Bank Talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. So we'll get to those numbers and also take a look at the in-season tournament. The quarterfinals are here, so everybody that's been critical, Dick in Port Washington most notably, about this being labeled as a tournament when we haven't actually seen tournament play, well, it arrives on Tuesday, with the New York Knicks coming to Milwaukee, with the Celtics going to Indianapolis to take on the Pacers, with the New Orleans Pelicans going to Sacramento to take on the Kings, and with the Phoenix Suns going to Los Angeles to take on the Lakers. So a couple of things to point out about the in-season tournament that we'll get to in the next segment as well. But with this game tonight being one that was a five-point game, or smaller margin than that for times in the final 5 minutes of the fourth quarter, we had entered that clutch zone, where this is now the 12th clutch game the Bucks have played in this season. They are 9-3 in those clutch games. 9 wins is the most in the NBA this season. Their 12 games is not the most, however. The Phoenix Suns have played 13 of them. They are only 6-7. And the Golden State Warriors have been in 16 of those games, just 8-8. Here's the other thing to point out. Only the Phoenix Suns have played more minutes in the clutch, because that's more important, really, than looking at the games played. You could have it for a very, very limited period of time, and it's still going to matter, or still going to be a clutch game. It could be 10 seconds into that 5 minute mark. You could get to 4 minutes and 50 seconds left on the clock, and the lead jumps up to 7. That still qualifies as a clutch game. So minutes played in the clutch is more important to look at, and the Bucks have played the second most minutes in those situations, 54 of those 12 games. So again, on average, you're at 4 minutes. A majority of that 5 minute period has been back and forth for the Bucks. 54 minutes played in the clutch. Only the Suns have played more at 65. But what jumps off the page most is the Bucks' metrics. They have the third-best offense in those final 5 minutes of close games. 129.4 offensive rating. That trails only the Indiana Pacers, who, by the way, have the best offense in the league, but who have a 130.1 offensive rating in the clutch. 7 one-hundredths of a point in front of the Bucks. And then you have the Dallas Mavericks, who, again, second best offense in the league, have a 130.9 offensive rating. Defensively is the area that catches most of your attention. We've spent a lot of time talking about the defense so far this season and the Bucks' struggles there. But when it matters most, and when, as Adrian Griffin has pointed out, it is most critical, the Bucks have answered the call. A 97.5 defensive rating in those clutch spots. That is sixth in the NBA. And when you subtract that defensive rating from their offensive rating, you get a 31.9 net rating, which trails only the Dallas Mavericks, second best in the NBA in those spots. We've heard the refrain from Adrian Griffin, and the numbers have backed it up. Those moments have been the Bucks' best moments so far this season. They have been elite in the clutch, and a big part of that is Damian Lillard, who again leads the NBA in clutch scoring with 67 points scored in the clutch this season. No other player has scored more than 53 points in the clutch, and Damian Lillard has done that in 11 games Steph Curry has scored 50 points in 13 clutch games. Kevin Durant has played 12 games. He scored 42 points. Damian Lillard is up to 67 points scored in the clutch this season. He has predominantly carried the offense through those spots. And the Bucks defense, whether it's more familiarity, whether it's, as we heard once again tonight from Griff, switching up some coverages entering that moment, nobody seems to have a true answer of this is precisely why. It's been a number of things, but the Bucks have certainly been elite in those spots. When we come back, I do want to mention the differences we've seen between this offense and defense from first to fourth quarter. One of the big things we've continued to mention, slow starts. It was not an issue tonight, and is that trending in the right direction? We'll take a look at it after this on Bucks Talk. Big differences between the first and the fourth quarter for the Bucks, though that wasn't necessarily the case tonight, at least not in the form that we have seen for most of this season. So what I mean by that, we have spent a lot of time talking about slow starts that have seemingly plagued this team for a majority of their games this season. For whatever reason, the first quarter has not been a good quarter for the Bucks. With this game included in the mix, when we look at first quarters only, the Bucks' offense has been in the bottom 10 in the league, 23rd best offense in the league by way of efficiency. 23rd. The only teams worse than the Bucks are teams that, for the most part, you do not want to be in the same category as. The Los Angeles Clippers are 24th. In first quarter offensive efficiency, the Clippers, you can think about the star power they have, but the Clippers have not been a good team this season at 9-10. And they're going through similar things that we've mentioned for the Bucks. It's going to take time for that group. You got Kawhi Leonard and Paul George back on the floor for the most part this season, more so than we had seen in the past 3 years. Now you're figuring out how to work James Harden into the mix. It's going to take time for that team to develop chemistry. Very similar message that we've mentioned when it comes to the Bucks. But the difference is, while the Bucks are still figuring those things out and still have plenty of room for improvement, they've been winning those games. The Clippers have not at 9-10. The Memphis Grizzlies are 25th in offensive efficiency in the first quarter. They have been very, very bad. And if it weren't for one team in particular, Memphis Grizzlies would be getting a lot more attention as one of the bigger disappointments this season. Then you have the Lakers, who have basically been a 500 team, but they carry with them the cachet of being the Los Angeles Lakers, of having LeBron James and Anthony Davis, and who knows what else they have up their sleeve when it comes close to the trade deadline. But the Lakers currently sit at 26th with a 105.2 offensive rating. By the way, the Bucks is 106.9. Not good when we see offense continue to skyrocket this year. Whichever team finishes with the top-rated offense in the league, it will be the highest-rated offense in the history of the NBA. And the chances are that is going to be the case for the next handful of years. But it's going to be close to 120, if not over that. And the Bucks' first quarter offense has been 106.9. The Pistons are down there, 27th in offensive efficiency in the first quarter at 104.3. The Pistons have done nothing but lose. They're 2-18. They've lost 17 games in a row. They finished November winless at 0-15. You have the Trailblazers, who are 6-12. They're 28th. A team the Bucks just had to come back from down 26 against on Sunday. The Chicago Bulls, who are 7-14, a team that just beat you, they're 29th, and then the Charlotte Hornets are 30th. So it is not great company that the Bucks are keeping with their offensive struggles early in the game. Defensively, they've been okay, which the numbers are at least what you've seen the last couple of games. It may not seem like that's the case. And we saw a lot of points scored in the first quarter tonight, against a very good offense, I think we should point out. But defensively, the Bucks have had the 11th best defense by way of efficiency in the opening quarter. Overall, net rating tells the story most accurately of any individual stat we have. If you want to see how good is this team, you point to net rating. And the Bucks have a 19th best net rating, I should say. They're negative 3.5. They're 19th in the NBA in net rating in the opening quarter, and frankly, I'm surprised that number isn't even lower. So they've been very bad offensively. They've been just outside the top 10 defensively, and they've been just outside the bottom 10 overall. It hasn't been a good start to games. That's the story of the first quarter for the Bucks. Offense was not an issue tonight. Defense was. But, again, you factor in the level of caliber of your opponent offensively, and that tells a part of that story. But where things rapidly change is the fourth quarter. So remember that number of 106.1 offensive rating in the first quarter? The number jumps to 130.2 in the fourth quarter. And here's what's notable about that. Not only is that the best offensive rating in the fourth quarter by any team in this league, it is the best offensive rating by a wide margin. It is nearly 4 points, or it is more than 4 points, per 100 possessions, better than the second-place Indiana Pacers, who once more have the best offense in the league this season. That is how good the Bucks' offense has been in the fourth quarter of games this season. That is where we have really seen Damian Lillard take over. That's where we've seen, and especially tonight, a lot more of that chemistry developing and that two-man game setting in between Damian Lillard and Giannis. The Bucks' offense, to say it has been elite, may even be an understatement. That is a big driving force in how good they have been in fourth quarters this season. Defensively, they sit in the middle of the pack with the 15th best defense in the fourth quarter, but it brings us back to the overall story that we've mentioned a couple of times. If you can have a defense that's just good enough, we're not asking for a top 10 defense. Certainly not asking for the best defense in the league in elite levels like we saw for the last five seasons. But if you can have a defensive unit that's just good enough, league average, maybe slightly better than league average, and they're keeping you in the game, the offense should be good enough to take it from there. And the numbers back up, that is what has happened in the fourth quarter of games. The defense has done just enough, gotten just enough stops, played well enough to keep the team in the game, and the offense has been dominant. 16.1 net rating in the fourth quarter is the best in the league by a wide margin. Again, more than 4 points per 100 possessions, better than the second best New York Knicks team. So that will be an interesting showdown on Tuesday in the quarterfinals of this in-season tournament, because both of these teams have been very good in the fourth quarter, in the Bucks and the Knicks. We saw one of those games in the first matchup of group play of the in-season tournament back on November 3rd, the Knicks have really done this with their defense in the fourth quarter, whereas the Bucks have gotten by with their offense. Knicks have had the fourth best defense in the fourth quarter of all games played this season, while their offense currently sits at 11th, and again, net rating is second. The Bucks have been super elite on offense, okay on defense, and extremely good with their net rating. So that all leads to a very, very interesting matchup Tuesday night in the quarterfinals of the in-season tournament. We'll get into that in-season tournament. And again, go over the details, what Tuesday means, what the fallout and scenarios are from that. We'll preview the quarterfinals of the in-season tournament after this on Bucks Talk. 132 to 121 final tonight at Fiserv Forum. Bucks get past the Atlanta Hawks. Now on to the in-season tournament quarterfinals on Tuesday. And again, still limited tickets available for that game. If you want to be a part of what is going to feel like a playoff game in December here in Milwaukee, Tuesday night when the Bucks host the New York Knicks. So we'll get to the details of that game and really everything you need to know about the week ahead for the Bucks in just a moment. But I do want to finish one thought on all the numbers we just got into. This team you played tonight in the Atlanta Hawks, third best offense in the league with a 118.6 offensive rating. Slowly but surely, we have seen the Bucks creep up there. 118 offensive rating for the Bucks. That is the fourth best offense in the NBA. Only the Pacers, who sit at 123.8, The Philadelphia 76ers, who are 119.8, and the Atlanta Hawks, who are 118.6, have had a better offense season to date than your Milwaukee Bucks at 118 offensive rating. And defensively, still some work to do. So the Bucks still sit at 21st overall for the entirety of the season at a 115 defensive rating, I beg your pardon, but it's moving closer, gradually, slowly but surely, maybe at the same glacial pace that we typically see Brook Lopez move at, but it's sliding forward just a bit, and I'll say it once more, if you can get to 15th, just get to that range where you got a league average defense who continues to make plays in the fourth quarter and down the stretch, that offense keeps getting better and better, and that's the big thing to keep an eye on. I've mentioned quite a bit looking at the numbers since November 3rd, because that's when we saw Brook Lopez put back in that drop position, and that's when we've seen Brook Lopez take off and dominate. Still leads the NBA in blocked shots. He had four more of those tonight. Remember, he had zero in the first game against Atlanta on October 29th. Since that point of the schedule, that was your fifth game of the season, Bucks offense has been even better than that number we gave you moments ago. 119.4, though that is fifth versus fourth offensively. 119.4 offensive rating. The defense has been slightly better than that number we just gave you as well at a 114.1. That is 12th. So it is not 21st, it is 12th since you've started utilizing Brook Lopez the way we've seen the last few games. So you're fifth in offense, 12th in defense, and eighth in net rating. The big thing you should always focus on, can we be in the top 10 in all of those? You know, if you get that, you are a very good team. The Bucks are knocking on the door of that right now with the 12th best defense, 5th best offense, and 8th best net rating. One of those teams that's also been very good since those games played November 3rd, ironically, is the team the Bucks played November 3rd, and that is the New York Knicks. They are 3rd in net rating in games played since that date. The Bucks, as we mentioned, 8th. The Knicks have the 6th best defense in those games and the 8th best offense. So what I just said, you shoot to be in the top 10 in all three of those. The Knicks are. And that's who the Bucks will have here on Tuesday night for the quarterfinals of the in-season tournament. So here's what you need to know. Monday and Tuesday are only NBA quarterfinals games. You have two games Monday night. You have two games on Tuesday night. Thursday is only semifinals games. So the winner of the games played, or the winners, I should say, of the games played Monday and Tuesday will play each other on Thursday. And then Saturday, the only game on the NBA schedule that day is going to be the finals of the in-season tournament. So we had 12 games played tonight. Six teams did not play a game today. No teams play a game tomorrow. There are no games on your Sunday schedule because when the schedule was made, the league did not know who was going to be playing in the quarterfinals. So you can't run the risk of any team playing a back-to-back going into that game. So there's no games on your schedule tomorrow. So if you're one of those six teams that did not play tonight, you don't play Saturday, you don't play Sunday, you don't play Monday, and you don't play Tuesday. You get a mini All-Star break with 4 days off before moving into your two regular season games, non-quarterfinal games that'll be played Wednesday and Friday. So Wednesday and Friday are your non-tournament games. Wednesday, you will have the rest of those 22 teams that did not qualify for the quarterfinals playing their first game against each other. Friday, they will play their second game. Because remember, every team had 80 games scheduled. The two games that were missing were to be determined. Either it's your quarterfinals game and your semifinals game. If you go that far, it's your two games against other teams that did not qualify for the quarterfinals. Or it's a quarterfinals game and then a loser's bracket, a consolidation game for that second one. Monday night, you've got the Celtics going to Indiana to take on the Pacers. The winner of that game plays the winner of the game between the Bucks and the New York Knicks. So our hope is the Bucks will be moving on to Las Vegas Thursday night, playing either the Celtics or the Pacers for the right to advance to the finals of the in-season tournament. You also have the Kings hosting the Pelicans. The winner of that game plays the winner of the game between the Suns and the Lakers. And again, that game would be played Thursday. Thursday, the games tip at 4 o'clock and 8 o'clock. And I know the assumption is the Bucks will be in the 4 o'clock game. The West Conference game will be in the 8 o'clock game. But not so fast. The league is putting a priority on the better matchup. So in other words, if you say, let's say hypothetically, the Eastern Conference Final is the Bucks versus the Celtics and the Western Conference Final is the New Orleans Pelicans and the Phoenix Suns, there's a pretty good chance the Bucks and the Celtics will be your 8 o'clock tip on Thursday night. But let's just say the Bucks lose that game on Tuesday. If that is the case, they will play Friday. Where that game is played depends on the result of the game played on Monday. So after Monday, we will know who will the Bucks play in the semifinals if they advance, or who will they play in that non-tournament game on Friday. If the Bucks lose and the Indiana Pacers lose, the Bucks will host the Pacers at Fiserv Forum Friday evening. If the Bucks lose and the Boston Celtics lose, the Bucks go to Boston on Friday evening to play the Celtics. Again, there are limited tickets available for the quarterfinal matchup between the Bucks and the Knicks on Tuesday. We encourage you to come out here for that game and be a part of the first ever actual tournament game in the NBA's first ever in-season tournament with the Bucks and the Knicks. It's the team that started group play with the Bucks. That's who the Bucks have now on Tuesday night. 6:30 tip here in Milwaukee for the right to advance to Las Vegas and potentially win the first ever NBA in-season tournament. We'll wrap up the show after this and take a look at some more numbers of that Knicks opponent the Bucks will face Tuesday night on Bucks Talk.
Ain't no way they can stop me now. Daddy, cause I'm on my way. I can feel my ring coming. It's the blood of a champion.
132-121, our final score here. The Bucks knock off the Atlanta Hawks. And now it is on to the quarterfinals of the in-season tournament. Again, limited tickets are available for you to be here and be a part of history in the sense that this will be the first in-season tournament game, the actual tournament game, played here in Milwaukee Tuesday night against the New York Knicks, 6:30 tip time. 6 o'clock is when our pregame coverage begins, and it's a Knicks team you played once before. It's the first team you played in group play of the in-season tournament. That was a game that went down to the wire, one of those 9 wins the Bucks have posted this season in the clutch. It is a Knicks team that has been good defensively. The offense has been very good and very efficient. Maybe not the most high-scoring team, but efficiency is the story to the Knicks offense. And look, you are going to, sooner or later, have to find a way to slow down your opponent's backcourt. We saw the Knicks give them all kinds of problems, specifically Jalen Brunson in that first matchup. And even more problematic was the job Mitchell Robinson did on the offensive glass. So it is a matchup where I would anticipate the Bucks to be favored, but it certainly presents its share of challenges. Again, you win that game, and you advance to Las Vegas on Thursday to play the winner of the Boston Celtics and the Indiana Pacers in the other quarterfinal game in the Eastern Conference. What happens after that? We can discuss that if we get to that point of the schedule. But an 11-point win tonight in another clutch win for the Bucks. Now 9-3 in those types of games this season. And in a rarity, it was not Damian Lillard simply carrying the offense tonight. 11-point win for the Bucks, who now get set for the first ever quarterfinal matchup in the in-season tournament. Tuesday night at 6:30 is when that game tips off. 6 o'clock, our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk.